Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Colleen Vanderzijden, and this is Lilydale Radio. I'm so happy you're listening and watching tonight. Now, here on Lilydale Radio, we're going to talk a little bit about Lilydale. We're also going to talk about some other things. I'm Colleen Vanderzijden, a registered medium here in Lilydale, and I'm also a certified spiritual life coach. Now, as a medium, we all connect in with the loved ones we have on the other side and check in with them, see what they have to say. And as a spiritual life coach, I help people take action to create the life they want to have. I was talking to one of my clients the other day, and we were talking about all the problems people have in their lives. And we were talking about how important it is to have someone to talk to. So when things aren't going well, we don't know what to do, we've got issues, concerns, you know, life throws so much crap at us sometimes that it's really hard to stay focused and hopeful. And I've found that as time goes on, if we have somebody around who we trust that we can say whatever we want to, that can really help us. So that's what I do as a life coach. I'm there to help people navigate their problems and get to a different place. And it's a wonderful thing to do, let me tell you. Now, if you haven't been to Lilydale yet, you do want to get there because Lilydale is opening. The season opens on June 29th, and the monks are coming, and they'll be doing a mandala, and there'll be all sorts of workshops happening opening weekend. And I do recommend if you're planning to get a reading this summer that you make your appointment in advance rather than waiting and just walking in. Hello, Michael. Thank you so much for watching. You do want to make an appointment so you're sure to get an appointment. We don't want you to get there, wander around, and be disappointed that you didn't have a reading when you were hoping to get one. So I do recommend you do that. Now, if you go to lilydaleassembly.org, that is the website, and you can see everything that is happening there. You can see all the workshops. You can see the daily events that go on, and you can also find the list of registered mediums. And on there, you'll see telephone numbers, and I do believe they have the websites as well. Frequently what people will do, it's an interesting way to do it. You know, I'm a more methodical person normally, not so much as I've gotten older and gotten more into the mediumship and the coaching and all of that. Before, I would have gone through, probably looked at every single person's website and analyzed it and all that, but I find it so much easier if you just kind of go with your gut and see which name might leap out at you. Some name might just come right out to you and you'll be like, oh, that's the person I definitely want to see. Hi, Diane. Thank you so much for watching. So I've had people contact me because their name was Colleen. And so they thought, well, that would be fun. I'll go to Colleen. Other people thought it was interesting because I had the Irish first name and the Dutch last name. So they would come in that way as well. Other people, they just, for whatever reason, they might see another name or whatever and go, that's where I really want to go. And so I do recommend that you make your appointments in advance. And on that website, you can see everything. I'm telling you, everything that's happening. It is a beautiful place. And now that it's getting warmer, all the flowers are getting going. I've got my flower pots ready for Lilydale. They're actually in my driveway at my other house. And I'm leaving them there for another week because I'm not at Lilydale every single day right now. So I'm going to bring them over next week. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for watching and joining in. And this is Embracing Your Essence is the name of the show. It's all about you, who you are, who you truly are inside. And I usually talk about different ways that you can connect with yourself, strengthen the power of who you are. Sometimes we'll talk about spirituality, things like that. We'll talk about mediumship. Last week, we talked a little bit about grief because we had a couple of phone calls where people were experiencing a lot of grief. So we talk about all sorts of things. Today, we are going to talk about letting go. And what else did I tell you before I get to that? Oh, yes. on Facebook. You can follow Lilydale there. It's Lilydale Assembly Incorporated. And you can follow me there as well if you're watching this. You're on my page now, which is Colleen Van Der Zijden, Medium and Self-Empowerment Coach. And I would be happy if you would follow me there as well. So today we're going to talk about, and then we will take some callers. You can call in. Notice how I interrupt myself? Yes, it's not abnormal. You can call in at 818-739-8818. And if you're going to call in, you should call in for a couple of reasons. One, you might want a brief mediumship reading. On the radio, there's a limited time, so I just do the best I can here and just kind of get information out as quickly as I can. If you have a specific problem you want to talk about, I will touch in with coaching. Sometimes that also helps to have spirit will come in and say something to you in regards to whatever your problem is. Sometimes they don't, though. It's up to them. They get to decide what they want to do. You can also call in if you just have questions. You want to ask a question about how to develop your mediumship skills, how to become a healer, how to whatever, and I'll answer them to the best of my abilities. Now, I can tell you this, so I don't forget to tell you this. Lilydale has a package where you can buy gate passes in a package deal, and the price is amazing. So if you're planning to be at Lilydale for more than just a few days, you know, a week or whatever, I think it might be a 10-pack, and I'm not sure about the price, but I remember looking at it and going, that's hardly anything. It was $67 or something. I don't know what it was exactly, so don't quote me on that, but it's such a better price. So if you're thinking going to be there more than just a few days, you might really consider buying one of these packages, and that would be good for you. So do that. Now, we are going to talk about letting go. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is because I was talking to a friend the other day who had lost her job, and she was very upset about it. And she kept talking about how when she had her job, she had a purpose in the morning. She had money, obviously, more than she did without the job. She had a need to get up. And she felt much happier when she had the job. And when she lost her job, it was really throwing her for a loop. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know how to move on. And she was very much focused on the past and focused on what had happened to her rather than taking that experience, a negative one, yes, taking that experience and then integrating it and trying to move forward. She was having a very hard time letting go of having had that job. And it's so natural to do, isn't it? I'm sure you've all lost something or you needed to move on from something and you just can't do it. We get stuck there and we think about the past, and it's just very hard to balance things out. The life is full of changes all the time. You can't control it. It's just the way it is. It's inevitable. Lots of these changes are leading us to someplace else. Whether or not we want them to is beside the point. Everybody has things happen that are not pleasant. Some changes, of course, are good, right? But lots of times the ones that we moan and whine about the most are the negative ones that kind of drag us down. Relationships will evolve. You know, we start out in a great relationship and then it evolves and it's not working so well anymore. We're not really sure what to do. And we might have financial problems, something might come up. We could have a disaster happen, literally a disaster. You know, your house burns down or something horrible could happen and literally rocking your world, you know. And we can lose people and we can lose pets through loss or literally they move, whatever it could be. There are so many different things that we can lose and so many changes we have in our lives. And it can be really hard to move forward when we have these things. There are so many things, you know, like I'm thinking about a friend of mine too. I have a lot of friends who have some issues, as we all do, and who was having issues with her partner and remembered how great it was when they first got together. And then as time went on, it just wasn't working anymore. She was really moving forward in her life. She had goals and dreams, but he kind of got really stagnant and wasn't very good about supporting her and her goals and dreams and wasn't really listening and paying attention. And for her, it was really hard to find a way to let go of that relationship. Trying to shift it wasn't really working for her at that point. So she was trying to figure out what to do. We have so many things we hold on to in our lives, so many things. We have the mental, emotional things. Have you ever held on to resentment? somebody did something to you a long time ago and you resent them for it. Maybe you have self-criticism. You hold on to self-criticism. You listen to that voice inside your head that tells you you're not good enough. That voice that just goes on and on and on. And it becomes a habit, so you hold on to this voice. Somebody does something bad or something bad happens in life, and we have those negative emotions. You ever do this when you go to bed at night and you're trying to sleep and you know you're really tired and you're thinking, oh, tonight's going to be great. I'm going to fall asleep. And then all of a sudden you start replaying a situation or a conversation in your head over and over again. And you start saying to yourself, oh, I should have done this. I should have done that. I can't believe they did that to me. I can't believe they said that to me. And that's something we can move into letting go. We have beliefs that we hold on to. The unfair people. Life can be really unfair at times, can't it? There are so many things happen to us that are just, they're not right. Let me just say that, right? That it's not right. But as you know, life happens. Things happen. We have no control over certain things. You can start to look at yourself and figure out what you might be holding on to by how you're feeling about what's happening in your life now or in the past, whatever it is. We hold on to these beliefs. I'm reading this book right now. It's a cognitive therapy behavior or cognitive behavioral therapy. I think that's what it is. Sorry. Cognitive behavioral therapy book. And it has strategies in there to shift your thoughts, shift your actions and all this stuff. And I'm reading it because it's very similar to what I do, what I teach, what I share with people. And I thought it'd be fun to look through it and see the psychological things that are in there. And they were talking in this book, and as I was reading today, about people holding on to the victim energy, that it's not my fault, I feel bad because this happened, they did this, they said that, where we blame other people for things. And within those situations, there's usually a belief system we have in there that's holding us back, that we're perpetuating that belief when maybe it's not really accurate anymore. I had a belief years ago when I discovered, I had no awareness of anything when I first started on this path in 2000, when I woke up to a different life, I guess you can say. And it took me a little while to recognize the belief system that I had ingrained in myself that I wasn't good enough. And I look back at my life and I'm not really sure where it comes from because I don't recall anything specifically that set me off or that made me feel that way. So sometimes things just kind of come and maybe there was something that happened and I'm just not remembering, or maybe it's just my own insecurities that are inside myself. And I never really wanted people to notice me. I didn't want people to look at me, judge me, any of that. So I tended to be very quiet. But this all came from the belief system that I wasn't good enough. If I said something, then somebody might criticize me, and then they would prove it. I wasn't good enough, and it'd just be this horrible, vicious cycle. So sometimes we don't even know we have these beliefs inside us. We don't know what's there. I'm always talking about you have to create your life. You have to figure out what you want, and just being open and honest with yourself, all of that. And I'm sure I'll be touching on those things again, because as I think about some of these things that we need to let go of, we've got those mental, emotional things, the things that are inside our heads, because we're experiencing life in our heads. We're experiencing life by how we feel about what's happening. And sometimes we give our way our power by putting this stuff out there and blaming stuff. And Kim, sorry, everybody, I'm laughing because Kim says, you insecure? No way. I know. People who know me now, find it hard to believe, especially the fact I could be a little bit shy too. And this is part of this is my life path, I was a teacher for a long time. So I had to be out there. And then as I got going on my spiritual path, and this is huge, as I got on my spiritual path, that's when everything started shifting because I found myself inside here. I found my power again. And it doesn't mean that sometimes I get off track, you know, we all do, but I found my power and I can figure out how to get out of my own crap more readily than I used to. It's amazing. So let me tell you, if anybody out there is feeling insecure themselves, if I can do it, you can do it. It's one of those situations for sure. when we can hold on to actions as well. We try to control things. I used to be a big control freak too. I might tend towards that on occasion as well right now, but who knows? So we tend to control things. And by that, we're not letting go of things. Now, today, what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk about this, some of this stuff with the how we need to let go, why we need to let go, why do we hold on to stuff. And I'm going to give you some strategies also so that you can step into that power of letting go. And I do want to, again, tell you if you're just joining in that this is Embracing Your Essence. It is Lily Dale Radio. And I'm Colleen Van Der Zijden, registered medium at Lily Dale. And I'm also a certified spiritual life coach. You can connect with me at my website, psychicmediumcolleen.com. That's the easy version. Or if you want to be brave, colleenvanderzijden.com is the real domain name. You can also connect with Lily Dale at lilydaleassembly.org, and you can find all of us on Facebook and all of that stuff too. So I do want to tell you that. And if you want to call in, the number is 818-739-8818. Now the radio shows, I'll mention those before I go back into some of the things we hold on to in our lives, because it's pretty much everything. We have other radio shows. Today is Tuesday, yes. So tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in the morning, Willa White has a show. 8 p.m., John White has a show. And at 10 o'clock on Thursday, Celeste Elliott has a show. Now, we are going to go on hiatus for the summer because we're going to be really busy doing readings and all our work over at Lily Dale. So you've still got a few more weeks to watch. And, of course, you can always find them on Blog Talk. You can listen there. They are archived. I also have all of mine listed on my website. So I have two radio pages because I do have a show on Thursday night. That one's through A1R Psychic Radio. And so I do have a player on there as well, and also all of the video links. And on the Lily Dale page, I have links back to my Facebook page to watch the videos there. So, yes, Michael is saying he's a spiritual pastor in 1999. What's the saying? Change, growth, healing, and now strong. This is amazing, isn't it? When we wake up and we start to see things in a different way. And really, that's my purpose, I think, you know, is it's to help people create their lives, but it's also to help them wake up, to become more aware of their greatness, who they truly are, the power they have within themselves. Because when we hold on to things, I'm back to it, see how I got there? When we hold on to things, we are limiting ourselves. We stop ourselves from moving on. We stop ourselves from creating things. Remember when you were young and really young and you thought, you know, you could do anything you wanted when you became an adult, and it was just such a great thing. I could be anything I want. And then when you became an adult and you realized you're responsible for your bills and making sure you, you know, if you move, you've got to call the electric company and you've got to pay to move and you've got to do all this stuff to be an adult. And for some people, it's a shock, you know. I know for my daughter it is, so she's 22 now, and she said the other day, I don't think I want to be an adult anymore. And she really doesn't have that many adult responsibilities yet. And so she's stepping into that now. And it is, as Michael's saying right now, it is a learning process. Life is all about learning. Every day I learn something new. And here's something I'm going to divert a little bit. On my Thursday show last week, I talked about saying no, because I realized last week that I was having a real problem saying no, saying an outright no to someone or something. And I would, you know, make it a little soft, you know, well, you know, I might kind of hemming and hawing. And I was telling my daughter a story, and she said to me, why didn't you just say no? Because you know you're not going to want to do that. So why did you even give yourself that leeway, you know? So I talked about that on my show Thursday night. And interestingly, on the show, I said something about how the universe is bringing me things to practice saying no on. And it also goes along with speaking your truth, because if you don't pay attention to what you're feeling, what you're thinking inside, then it's hard to say no, because you're not really sure what you're thinking and feeling, all that stuff. So that's the same kind of feeling for me. So when I was talking about the universe bringing me these examples, these situations where I'd have to say no, every day since Thursday, now it's only Tuesday, but this is big for me and it may be big for you, is that I've had something come up where I've had to say no. And I've noticed, like even if it's just writing somebody an email, I start it with something really soft and start giving excuses why and all this. And then I thought, you know what? It's none of their business. They don't really care. Anyway, I'll just say, sorry, I can't do that. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Colleen. And that would be it. A simple one. Here's a simple one. I went to my high school class reunion this past weekend. 40 years. Can you believe it? Where does time go? But I went to my reunion, and as I was there, my mom was visiting in that area, and I went to go to my brother's. I was going to go over there to my brother's house to see him. And my mom is like, well, why don't you follow me in the car? In the car. And I have a GPS, and I really don't like following someone, because if I'm on an unfamiliar road, which I was, because I didn't drive in that area when I was growing up, and so unfamiliar road, following a car that, you know, you just kind of, you get a little bit worked up, you know, you want to stay really close. If somebody gets in between, I could get lost, blah, blah, blah. And so I could have, which is what I would usually have done, said, oh, okay, I'll follow you. But inside going, oh, I don't want to follow her, because then I've got to pay attention, and I got to this, I got to that, and I've got to stay really close to her and all that. And I said, no, I don't want to follow you. I don't like following people. I'll just put an address in my GPS and I'll go that way. And she's like, oh, okay. So I did that. And I walked into my brother's house and my daughter was there, and I just said no to Nana and told her, no, I wasn't going to follow her. I was going to do it myself. And she's like, okay, good. You said no again. So this is something we've got to remember, how to just to stand in your power and say no. And part of this is the reason I'm talking about this too, because it does relate to this letting go. There's some belief system I have operating inside myself where if I say no to somebody, it might upset them. It might make them feel bad, and I never want to make anybody feel bad on purpose or accidentally either. I don't want to make anybody feel bad, so I kind of suppress myself so that I don't, you know, upset them. But isn't it easier sometimes if we just come right out and say what we need to say? I can say no, but then I remember the sixth principle. What is the sixth principle, James? It's not coming to me. How do we do both? Okay, when James tells me what that is, then I'll talk about that if I have an answer. So it is interesting, especially for people. And if you're watching this show, you're probably a person who is a kind and caring person, somebody who believes in, spiritual life, doing your best, standing in your power, or at least attempting to, always wanting to be there for other people, helpful, caring people. And so that's, you know, so you may have a similar situation where you don't say what you need to. Some of the other things we can hold on to is our unconscious reactions, our responses. We just respond habitually and we're not really thinking. Okay, so it's all coming back to our awareness here. Do you ever notice you hold on to physical things too? The golden rule. Okay, sorry, I'm digressing. Everybody who's listening and watching, I'm digressing back to James. The golden rule. Oh, well, I should remember that, right? You know, the do unto others as you do unto you, or reversing, is to act from your integrity of how you'd like other people to act as well. Now, think about it reversing. Somebody wants to... I want to make sure I'm clear because I can get out there sometimes in my head. We all want to treat others the way we'd want to be treated. We all want to treat others with kindness. Saying no doesn't mean we're not treating them with kindness. But here's an issue. Sometimes if we don't say no, we're not treating ourselves with kindness. So we have to make sure we stay in that integrity of ourselves and our power. How many times do we go off and do something? While we're doing it, we just get so frustrated with ourselves. Why did I say this? Why did I do this? Well, you know, I should have, you know, and we go back to that. And think too about if you want to, say you want to help somebody, somebody's who's having a problem, maybe they're having a medical concern and you want to help them, but they're too stubborn. They don't want your help. You know, no, I can handle it myself, when really they can't. Something like that. They're holding onto this belief system that I can't have help. I can't get help. It's not right. I can take care of myself. And you're offering the help out of the kindness of your heart. Now reverse it. What if you don't want the help and somebody like barges in on you And I mean, you can offer and you can be gentle about it. You might not like that either. I don't think that was very clear, but maybe that makes sense to some of you. Let's see. We believe that the highest morality is contained in the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Yes. And that so makes sense because we do want to be kind and caring and all of that. But if we are not being true to ourselves, then we are not being kind and caring to ourselves. We're not standing in our power. We're not standing in our integrity. So there is a balance here. And there's nothing wrong with telling someone no, even if they really want you to do something. Because, you know, some people are really manipulative. And some people, you know, you can only do so much for other people, too. You know, there's a lot of reasons. So my philosophy, not Lily Dale's or anything like that, my philosophy is do what you want to do as long as it feels right to you. If you want to help, then you go help. If you don't want to help, then don't go help. If you want to be there for someone else and you offer it and they say no, respect that, but you can continue to honor that. And if you happen to know that they really do want the help, you can be gentle about that as well. You know, it is interesting how life is, isn't it? Because these belief systems we hold on to do influence everything. And these are some of those things we need to let go of. We need to let go of some belief systems. You know, it's interesting that James is asking that question because so frequently it's a woman who's talking to me about those things because women have been brought up through no fault of anyone. It's just the way life has been. Women have been brought up to take care of everyone else and not to take care of themselves, to suppress themselves, to put other people's needs ahead of their own. And I can tell you as a coach and as a medium, I have spent so much time helping women recognize that it's okay to say no. It's okay to figure out what you really want. It's okay to think about yourself because there's that question, self-care versus selfish. Is it selfish to take care of yourself? No, it's not. Somebody was telling me this story about this woman who started exercising, and she was very much enjoying it, and it was a very positive experience for her. And her husband said to her, "You need to stop doing that." And she was kind of taken aback, you know, like, why? And it was that he didn't want her leaving the house to go and exercise because he wanted her in the house. It wasn't like they were doing anything special or anything like this. He just wanted her in the house. And so she started to feel a little guilty about this exercising. And then someone put her straight and said, no, this is for you. You have to take care of yourself. So if you take care of yourself, take care of your energy, say no, let go of things, all of that, you only have more energy to share with the people you love. It's true. That's a fact. I can guarantee that 1,000,000%. If you're taking care of yourself, you can help your other people. It's when you're taking care of someone to the point that you are exhausting yourself, or you've lost your way, you don't know what you're feeling anymore, you don't know who you are, you don't even know anything anymore. Now, there are situations in life, and I don't want somebody getting all irritated here, but there are situations in life where maybe we have a family member who is seriously ill and we're having to take care of them and we're starting to feel exhausted. We might even be feeling resentful, and then we feel guilty because we're resentful. We should be helping and all of that. And, you know, there's no harm in asking for help. It took me a long time to learn the lesson to ask for help if I needed help, because I was one of those people that I can do it all myself and it's all good. You know, no worries, I can do it myself. But really, when you allow someone to help you, they're sharing their love for you, okay? So you've got to make sure that you allow people to help you because it's good for them, and they start taking advantage of you. Oh, yes, caregiver for parents, Michael's talking about, yes. And you know, so there's nothing about getting help for that. Now, people who take advantage of you, if you say yes all the time for everything, they will take advantage of you. There is no doubt in my mind of this, and I can speak from experience of not my own, but a close friend of mine who used to give money to people. Just, you know, they had a need and got the sob story, and so he'd give them money. And he did this regularly, gave them money. And when it got to the point where they would tell him they needed money, and then he started feeling taken advantage of. So you have to make sure your actions, again, are in alignment with yourself. If you're acting out of your highest and your best, then you don't care and you don't feel like you need acknowledgement or appreciation for what you've done for someone else. Okay, you see how this works? You've got to have that acknowledgement, that recognition that you're acting out of your best. And if someone is taking advantage of you, what a great time to practice saying no. You know, no, thank you. I'm sorry, that doesn't work for me anymore. And there you go. You don't have to say anything else. Years ago when I was dating, and if you've ever done that, which I'm sure you have, it's not always the best experience. I was, people would ask me out and I just wasn't interested. I said, sorry, I'm seeing someone. And then I'd say to my friends later, yeah, I'm seeing myself in the mirror, you know. But, you know, I found it very hard to go, no, I'm not interested. So I would just say, no, I'm seeing someone, which was true, sort of, but, and softening the blow. I think sometimes when we're in relationships, it's a little harder to just come out with an outright no. Okay. I have digressed all over the place tonight, haven't I? I want to talk a little bit about holding on to the past, and I do want to take a caller. Have you ever noticed you hold on to the past? What happened a million years ago, you know, way back, you know, somebody said this to me and I can't believe it. Or things changing. We're talking about life changing tonight and things have changed and you want things to be the way they used to be. You know, you want your relationship to be the way it used to be when he paid attention to you and listened to you and asked intelligent questions. You know, you want your job to be the way it used to be, but they've dumped on you and maybe the state regulations have changed and you've got more things to do than you used to do. That's how my job ended up at the end. You know, you want things to be like that. And so we get focused on the past, and when we're focused on the past and wishing for things to be the way they used to be, we're not able to move forward. We get stuck. We get stuck in that emotion. It's safe. It's familiar. We want to keep. We want to hold on to what's familiar. How many of us have not broken up with somebody because we're scared of what's going to be after that? It's, you know, it's not that bad. You know how it works, so you'll just live with it. But you're not happy. You know, same thing with a job. You stay in the job because the money's good and it's familiar and you don't really want to move into a new job. You know, sometimes we get scared. We don't want to move on. For whatever it is, we don't want to release beliefs that keep us safe and protected. We don't want to release experiences. When I was selling my house last year, I was going through all my stuff, and I unfortunately do tend to collect. I have a lot of stuff. I love my books. I had letters from when I was a baby. I had my cards that my mother got when I was born. Okay, so I had all this stuff. And I didn't want to get rid of some of those things because they were memories for me. You know, these are memories, and which is great, but you can't be hauling that stuff all over your life, you know, everywhere you go. So we'll tend to hold on to those things too. So I would just take pictures of the important things and keep it that way. So I had it, you know, and I kept some things, of course, because that's me. But that's something too. You know, we hold on to things like that. Some of us were taught not to give up. We just don't want to give up. Okay, I'm reading what James is saying. He says, I know when I need to make amends and apologize, but it upsets me when others owe me amends. But don't apologize. Any advice? Oh, yes, James, you're attached to the outcome. You're attached to, you have a belief system. There's a belief system in here that you need to kind of look at. Why is it important for you that someone acknowledge what you've done, or they need to apologize to you? Why is it important to you that they apologize? How is it that you feel wronged by them not apologizing? Because there's something in your head somewhere, and it may be that, you know, you've spent the time, the energy to apologize and think, well, you know, it'd be nice if they showed me the same courtesy. But as you know, we can't change anybody else. And so that's something you'll have to shift within yourself, to know again that you did what you needed to do, the right thing, and to recognize that's their issue. It's not yours if they don't apologize to you. But it might be fun to explore that idea. What is it that you want from them? Why do you want that apology? Is it to make you feel right? Is it to make you feel justified in whatever emotion you're feeling? And just think about that. Sometimes writing will help with that. So that's something definitely to consider. I have a friend who was taught never to give up. And that meant dumping money into business opportunities. And even when they were failing and just kept dumping money in, you know, when we have these things we hold on to and these beliefs, these thoughts, these ideas, these jobs, relationships, all this stuff, and no matter what it is, it's blocking our energy flow. It's like we have this weight on us that is just squishing us and stopping us from moving forward. But if you can be open and honest with yourself and willing to look at it without judging yourself, everybody has something or many somethings. We all have issues. We all have concerns. I've been on my path since 2000. It's now 2018, and every day I am still learning something new. As I told you a little while ago, I am practicing saying no. I'm practicing saying no as much as possible, and I look for the opportunity every day to say no. I know that sounds a little weird, but for me, it's bringing me back into myself, and it's strengthening my power. And the more I strengthen my power, the easier it is for me to say no, and the universe will stop bringing me all that stuff where I have to say no. Okay, so there's all sorts of ideas here. So even people who have been on their path forever, for a very, very long time, are still having to learn lessons. And that's really what life is about, isn't it? We're just going to keep learning. We're going to keep growing. We're going to keep experiencing. And if we can look at life as an experiment, a fun little experiment, well, if I do this, what happens? If I do that, what happens? Now, I'm going to say one more thing, and then I'm going to take a caller. Shockingly, I know, because I'm just chatting on tonight. When I was talking on my Thursday radio show about saying no, I noticed that when my body wants me to say no, I will delay responding. And, you know, I'll say I have to check my calendar, which is usually true, or I'll just delay. But I also notice what I'll do, because I don't want to say the out right now, is I'll say, well, I'll just try it and see what happens. This is not good for me. If you do something like this, this is not good for me at all. Because what happens is I try it, and then I'm irritated at myself for having done something I didn't want to do. Or something worse happens, that if I had just listened to my gut, listened to my intuition, listened to my inner being who's saying, don't do that, if I had just listened, I wouldn't be where I am today. I would have stopped some of the issues that have come up in my life if I had just said, you know what, no, it's not feeling right, rather than going, I'll just try it and see what happens. So think about that too. If you have an issue with saying no, if there's something you do that instead of the outright no, or if there's something you do about not letting go. Okay, on and on I talk. So our first caller, I'm finally going to do a caller. I know, it's shocking. The number is 5239, and you can tell me your name, and that would be awesome. 5239, these are your last numbers. Hello, how are you today?
Hi, my name's Diane.
Hi, Diane, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Great. And how can I help you tonight?
I'm just having a hard time with some grief. I lost my parents and need to know that they're still with me and that they're happy with the decisions I've been making lately.
Okay. I am feeling a man who's coming in right now. And this guy, I have to say, I'm not sure where I'm going with it, and I don't know if it's hit your father. So we'll see. I do feel a female with him, but who knows who I've really got. We'll find out as I'm talking. Because I'm feeling this person, the immediate emotion I have right now is I'm so happy to be talking to you. I want to be talking to you. I want to be acknowledging you. I want to tell you that I'm feeling really well. He gives me the impression before he passes, there's some fear there before he passes. Does he have fear before he passes, like concern about what's on the other side or the actual passing?
He might have, yes.
Because there's that feeling of I don't even know how I want to put it, unsure, fear, uncomfortable, I'm not really sure what's going to happen kind of feeling. There's also the feeling I get of wanting to take care of other people. Is he the kind of person that is always with your mom, is always checking in on people, making sure everything's okay, because I want to be here with everyone?
Yes, yes, he is.
Okay, because I definitely want that. I definitely want to acknowledge everyone around me. There's also, he's a big family man, huh? It's the feeling of, I don't feel him as being a big, gigantic talker, though. Is he not a big talker?
No, not really. He's not, no.
Okay. Because I don't feel him being a big talker, but what I do feel is that connection, that love connection. I want to be with the family. I want to know what's happening. I want to be taking care of people. I get a very traditional kind of relationship with he and his wife. You know, the wife takes care of the house, that kind of thing, and most of the details. But he's a big provider person. I do want to be fixing things. Does he fix things, or does he try to fix things?
He used to, when he retired, he liked to do woodworking projects.
Okay, because I want to be doing things. I'm, like, tapping on my my notepad here, I don't know, like I'm nailing or I'm something. I feel like I'm just tapping on it. And there's that feeling of also wanting to, wow. He gives me the impression he's very happy with the life he had. Okay. He's given me the impression okay. Something else happened. Huh? Does his wife have some issues before she passes? Concerns on medical things, because I want to be taking care of her more, he's talking about. I feel like I'm in a hospital, and I feel like there's a lot of stuff around me. Was she in the hospital before she passes?
Yes, she was in the hospital when she passed.
Okay, because I've got all that stuff happening. You know, the lights, the sounds, all that stuff, and I want to be doing things. And I've got a lot of concern for her, and I've got a lot of concern for what she's feeling. I've got a lot of concern because it seems like she's really having a hard time. I'm getting a lot of body issues with her, and I'm getting a lot of ups and downs. You know, like I feel like my blood pressure is up, and then it's down, and then it's up, and then it's down. Feels like there's just so many things going on there, and we can't quite get stable. And does he pass before her?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense then, because I feel the concern, but it's from him as well as other people, but also I'm getting the impression that he's there. Do you know if she mentioned him before she passes, talking to him, saying he's here, because he's telling me he's there?
I don't know. We weren't with her when she actually passed.
Okay. Because he's telling me that he's there, okay? And there is that, it's a... I don't even know how to put it from her. It's a reaching out kind of thing and a connection. It's like normal. I get a real draw to him. Did he very much take care of her before, you know, when they're both here? Did he take care of her, making sure she has what she needs and all of that stuff?
Yes, he did. They took care of each other.
Yeah, I want to be together. You know, I want to be going every place together, that kind of feeling. Okay. I'm getting such the impression that they are so happy, number one, to be talking to you. But number two, they're saying it hasn't been easy since they passed. You know, never is when we've lost people. But for you, they're giving me the impression it's like you had to take over and do so many more things, that you had to be kind of the leader, the doer, the fixer. Are you the person that's trying to keep everything under control?
Yes, I was. Yep.
Okay. And they talk about that, and they give me a little bit of that impression of you putting other people's needs ahead of yours, because you're there for them and other people as well, okay, because there is a mention of others too. And there's a lot of gratitude coming in for everything you did. And they're giving me the impression you're doing a very good job, okay? It sounds like, that sounds too blasé to me, you know. It's a pride coming in that you're doing the best you can, and they recognize that. They acknowledge it, and they're giving me that feeling of pride for you it's the feeling of they can always count on you. They know they can count on you, and they're very happy with that. Something else. Did one of them, I'm seeing a small box. I don't know if I've got a jewelry box or if it's a decorative wooden box. What is this box? I've got a small box. Box related to them or to you that would have something in it of importance?
Probably me.
Okay. And you have things in it that are theirs? Mementos?
Yes, I do.
Things like this? Okay.
Yes.
So they're showing me this box. Okay, I'm glad you know what I'm talking about, because I never know what I'm talking about. So there is a mention of that. And with that comes the, okay, it's the connection, acknowledging your connection to them and that they haven't left. You know, sometimes when I say that, people might get confused by that. That doesn't mean they're not in heaven. That means they're around you as much as you
okay.
want them to be and as much as they want to be. But they are still in heaven. My philosophy from what Spirit has told me is that Spirit can be everywhere. So if I say they're with you, they are with you, and they are still in heaven too, okay? So they are with you, and they haven't left you. And I feel this sensation of wanting to give you strength and say, yes, keep going, yes. There's also the feeling of you having some things you want to do now, wanting to get out there and do your own thing, but feeling a little like I'm not really sure what to do next. Are you questioning what you should be doing for yourself?
No, not really.
Okay, good.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Okay. Because they're giving me this impression, so I don't want to create anything, okay?
Okay.
So we're not going to create any questions. We're not going to create them. But they do give me that impression. It's kind of like I want you off doing this. I want you to off doing that. And I want you doing a whole bunch of things. And with that does come a feeling of questions to me. So we're just going to leave that. Like I said, I don't want to create anything. There's the feeling of, yeah, you know, that'd be weird. But there is the feeling of wanting to acknowledge, what is this? Are they buried in a cemetery next to each other?
No, they both were cremated, and I have their ashes here at home with me.
Okay, and are they next to each other?
They are.
Okay, I want to make sure, because I'm seeing them next to each other, and he's giving me the back and forth kind of thing. And so there is that acknowledgement. They have to say whatever they can to get me to say whatever I have to say. So that's where we go. And there's that acknowledgement there. Do you have the picture next to them, too?
I do. Yes, I do.
Okay, so there's that mention as well. I do want to tell you there's so much love coming in for you, and they really are so happy to be talking to you. One more thing, and then I'll let you go. Who has the jaw problem? Somebody have TMJ or something like that? What's going on with the jaw?
My mother had a jaw problem.
Okay. So just a further acknowledgement of her then, because I know. She's like, I didn't get to talk very much. Anyway, so I have a feeling that if you have a reading with somebody sometime, she may come through and really chat it up for you. But I have to let you go, Diane. So I want to bring through so much love for you. And thank you so much for calling. It was so nice talking to you and your people.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? I love when spirit comes in. Now, Bristol's asking, do loved ones move away from us after a period of time? I don't feel someone like I used to feel them, wondering if they move on or maybe come back quickly. You know, that's an interesting question, Bristol, because that's a belief system that I have changed a little bit over the last couple of weeks, actually. My belief system was always that they are with us, they're always here, they want to be near us, they will come and go as they please or as you have a need as well. But someone was talking the other day that sometimes spirit won't come in, you won't feel spirit coming in because it's not quite the right time for you to feel them. You may have something else to do first, or you may need to do something on your own first before they come in. So I'm toying with this idea of spirit not coming in. Because, you know, just sometimes in readings, the ones we want to talk to don't come in. They just don't. And I know that's disappointing, but we can only bring in whoever shows up. And I never thought that there might be a reason for that. So there may be that. Now, for your question exactly, did you not feeling them like you used to feel them? My impression on that is you're probably needing to do your own thing, or you're thinking too much about it. Because if we get into the thinking too much, then we start to question, we start to doubt what's happening. So don't worry about it, okay? Because if you want them, And this goes for everybody. If you want them, you want to talk to your spirits, they hear you. They hear you. Whether or not you're feeling them, I have to tell you all, if you haven't heard me say this before, I don't feel my own dead people. Very rarely, I don't. Isn't that interesting? I just don't. I can feel yours, but I cannot necessarily feel mine. I don't know why that is. I've felt them a few times, but very rarely. But I know they're there. And Kim is saying, I think they come in when they know you need them. And I agree with that. I really do. I think they do come in when they know you need them, because they're there. You know, they're always there. Your people on the other side, they will never leave you. I mean, they won't. I mean, they've always got your back. They always love you. Even the ones you didn't meet. And sometimes people will say that to me in a reading, but I never met them. And I say, it doesn't make any difference. They're your family. They're still watching over you, you know, especially think about it this way too. What if it's your mother passes when you're very young, and wouldn't it be great to talk to her? You may not know much about her except for what you've heard, but isn't it great if she can come in and just give you some enlightenment and even just say, I love you and I'm so proud of you and how you've become and what kind of person you've become. So don't worry too much about that. Now, I do want to mention too, we were talking about how to let go, how to move on with that. And the first thing I wrote down is grief. You know, we need to acknowledge that grief, because how do we let go of someone we've lost? You know, you don't. You don't. Okay, they're always there. So you have to grieve that, and you have to feel those emotions. Same thing. You have to grieve the loss of a job. You have to grieve the end of a relationship. You may have to grieve a belief that kept you safe for, you know, 40 years. And then all of a sudden you go, oh my God, that's not even true. I can't believe it. And I'm scared to move into that, you know. You've got to then, after that, you express your emotions, feel whatever it is you've got to move into acceptance that this is the way life is. And that works for if we've lost somebody too. We've got to move into that acceptance and acknowledge that. I believe, my belief system again, is that if you believe they're on the other side, I feel it makes it easier. Because if you know they're not gone, isn't that awesome? It's not the same as the physical body. But yes, there you go. If you know they're there, it's great. Now, Tracy's asking, excuse me, it's already been asked, is it possible to teach yourself to be more aware or receptive to someone you're wanting to hear from? I think it is. I think you can teach yourself to be more aware. The trick comes in with our minds, because we doubt ourselves. We question what we're experiencing. We don't believe sometimes. I do a lot with writing, automatic writing, where you just write out whatever comes in, because that gets me out of my head. You know, so I just write. So you might try, if you want to connect with somebody who's passed, and, you know, somebody you know, I wouldn't start with the person you really want to talk to the most, because then the attachment is too great and it could block yourself. So start out with, you know, your friend who passed, you know, 8 years ago, and you're comfortable with her having passed. You may still experience some sadness, but you're comfortable with it. And write her a letter. Say, dear Mary, you know, I want to tell you how much I miss you. I want to tell you how much I love you. And I hope you're having a great time on the other side. And just write whatever you want to say to her. And then ask a question. Mary, tell me what it's like over there. Mary, what would you like to tell me? I would love to hear from you. And then just keep writing and see what comes through. Because something might come through where you think, oh, I did not write that. Where did that come from? And it would be a message from the other side. And that may be a way to get out of your head. So you can connect with that. She's been talking right up my alley. Yeah, it's funny how, you know, I want to talk about something, but then I get off on something else. And, you know, it's all in trusting spirit, isn't it? And so we want to step into that and just allow it. The other thing, too, is right before you go to sleep at night, you could try this. You know, you get in that nice space. And what I've been doing lately, and it's really cool, you should try this if you haven't, is you're breathing. And you get into the gap between the breaths, and you just notice that. Focus on a part of your body someplace and start to feel your body, because the breath will bring the energy to somewhere in your body. It'll go to your whole body, but there'll be a certain area where you might notice it more. I notice it in my third eye area or my hands. So breathe and just start to notice in your body. And feel that, because you might feel tingling, heat, cold, you might feel stuff in your body, and just get into that feeling and love it, just love it. And then when you're in that space, then ask for whoever you want to talk to. Say, you know, I'd love to talk to you tonight. Would you come and visit me? And whether they do while you're dreaming or even the next day or even a week later, just getting into that space shows the universe, shows God, shows everyone that you're open and you're willing and want to talk to your people. And so they will come. They really will. Now, I haven't tried that to connect with mine, and maybe I will, and I'll let you know how it goes. Because I'm sure I have people I'd love to talk to on the other side. And so as we talk about this, you know, we're talking about letting go and making sure you grieve. Letting go, I think the hardest thing in the world is to let go of people and to let go of pets. I think that's the hardest thing in the world. You know, you can probably find another job. You can find another relationship. You can get another house, all that stuff. You can get more possessions if you got to collect like I do. But that losing the people and stuff. Now, with this letting go, then we also come into becoming responsible for ourselves. We're becoming responsible for what we really want. You know, now I'm going to move out of the grief of losing someone. But what is, you know, say you lose your job and you're wishing that job would come back. But what is it you're really looking for? You're looking for an emotion of some kind, security, safety. In a relationship, maybe you're looking for kindness, respect, love, whatever it could be. So you've got to become aware of your emotions, be responsible for them, acknowledge them, let them teach you. I'm big on teaching. I always want to teach you and show you different ways to create your life, do what you need to do to get there. As you're letting go, and this applies to every situation, including loss of a person, what action or what shifting do you need to do? Do you need to shift your mind? Do you need to be open to the fact that spirit is on the other side? I do have people who come to me for readings that don't believe that they're over there. And I, you know, and so I do my best to help them acknowledge and see that, yes, they are there. You know, maybe you have to detach from something, you know, a belief system. Maybe you have to speak your truth, like I struggle with at times. Maybe you have to take care of yourself, but whatever action you need to do. The biggest thing, and I hear this from spirit so many times, is to be here in the present, living, doing what they have to, living, okay? You want to be here. You want to be living. They want you living. The most difficult of grief is the discovery of self. Yes. I tell you, isn't it hard to lose people? And within that, you know what I used to do? I read the obituaries every day for two reasons. One, to see if anybody I know died, but also to see what the spirits were like, you know, because now they're spirits, you know, see my remind us what they were like. And I also think about how those people would come back. How would I come back to my daughter, for example? You know, I would come back, you know, and I'd get the mom energy, and I would say a few things that might be different and that are helpful and would be encouraging her to be herself and to live her life fully and completely. And that is always my message. It always comes back to living your life fully and completely as you. Here we are in life, and we are in the self-discovery journey. That's all it is. It's a self-discovery journey. We're here to learn about ourselves and have some fun while we're doing it. So we have to have the fun. We've got to get out there. We've got to live. And the spirits tell me all the time. And I, when I started as a medium, I had no idea they were going to be saying this to me. And it happens enough that I realize it is true. It's all about our relationships here. It's all about the love we have here. It's all about living our lives and appreciating the people around us. With the losses that we've had, appreciate the people you have now. Time is going to go by so fast. Before you know it, we'll all be on the other side. And then we'll be going, whoa, I hope I did everything I wanted to do. I hope I said what I needed to say. I hope I lived like I wanted to live. I hope I this. So look back. And actually, I think I'm going to talk about that on my Thursday show this week, about looking back and the goals of what you want to have, who you want to be, and all of that stuff. I think I'm going to do that. I thought about that before I got on this show, you know, because if you look back and you think to yourself, okay, I'm at the end of my life. Did I do? Was my life a success? I'm going to talk about that Thursday. So my Thursday show is at 8:30, by the way, so you can watch that. It'll be, today is the 14th, no, the 12th. It'll be the 14th, June 14th. Yeah, so you can connect with me at psychicmediumcolleen.com. You can also connect with me on Facebook, Colleen Van Der Zijden, Medium and Self-Empowerment Coach. You can connect with all sorts of people at Lilydale, lilydaleassembly.org, and you can see everything that's happening in Lilydale this summer. And I do recommend, again, if you're going to get a reading, you do want to do it soon. You don't want to wait. Okay, I'll see you guys later. You have a good night. Bye.